Start recording on this, and then I clap. And that is where I can line up both of them.
Ooh, as I put them nice. Together.
See, pretty clever, right?
Yeah.
All right. I can hear you well. I won't be able to monitor the whole time because it's going to throw me off.
Okay.
But it sounds good.
All right.
So, sweet. We'll go ahead and start about here. All right. Oh, excuse me. Welcome into another episode of a Colorado Craft Podcast by Mile High Bourbon and Rye. Of course, my name is Zach. I'm the host of the show, and I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Chris. Chris, welcome to Crazy Mountain Brewery and the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Zach. I really appreciate it. Sorry I was running a little behind, but yeah, Denver traffic was crazy.
Oh yeah, Denver traffic is brutal. Yeah. I mean, it just somehow gets worse. Even on days where it's like, this is easy traffic,
It's
not easy traffic.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, and you grew up mostly in like more rural E, right? Because Windsor?
Yeah, I grew up in a town that, gosh, for majority of my younger life, only had 120 people living in it, or at least that's what they claimed.
So, a handful more people driving around the streets of Denver.
Yes.
Especially around 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
So, well, appreciate you making the trek down here. Chris, we brought you on. It's going to be a little bit different of an episode. We're not doing craft so much, but as focusing more on kind of Colorado outdoors. You work for, I always kind of mess this up, but I believe it's the state, right?
No, I actually work for Boulder County.
Oh, okay, for the county. Sweet. Yes. But doing like trail maintenance and stuff like that, right?
Correct, yeah. My official title is a maintenance tech for Boulder County, Parks and Open Space. Just building and maintaining their trails and their system.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know when I met you, you were starting school for some golf type stuff that changed a little bit, but still pretty avid golfer.
I would say so, yeah. When I started college, I originally went into professional golf management. Realized really quick that I didn't want to make it a job, just wanted to keep it as a passion.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely see that, especially with something like golf. Golf seems like a good way to go relax and tune out and not a way to focus.
Yeah, that's definitely what I found it to be for me, a good relaxer way to get away from work.
Yeah. Yeah, and making that your job would definitely mess that up a bit. So, awesome. Well, before we get any too much further anyway, I do want to give a shout out, as always, to Crazy Mountain Brewing for hosting us down here. Beers are delicious, as always. Still got this nice little spot here. Cool setup just to record. If you haven't come down yet, check them out, 15th and Ogden. Come check them out before a show. If you've got tickets to a show at the Ogden, bring it in. I believe it's either a discount or it might be as far as buy one, get one.
Ooh, nice.
And so, open mic nights every Wednesday. They do some comedy shows, I think, every month or maybe every other month. Always something cool going on here. So, actually came down here last weekend.
Ooh, nice.
To watch the DU Pioneers.
Ooh, yeah.
Championship.
Nice.
Did you get to watch any of that?
No, I'm really bad. I saw very late that they were actually in the Frozen Four.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
No, so that was the 10th NCAA title for DU.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
Which is a record in collegiate hockey for D1.
Wow.
So, I mean, shout out DU. That's one hell of a feat to pull off.
Yes.
And it's cool sitting here watching it. Got TVs all over the place. Everything was on the game. And again, like I said, always great beers. And they've finally opened up they've got it open up now, the taco truck that's kind of built in right over here. It's like a food truck, but inside. You just get to walk right over.
Ooh, nice.
Yep. Really good tacos. Tried those on Saturday, too.
Ooh, cool.
Hot sauce was great, so. Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's start kind of talking about your work with trails and everything like that. I mean, I'm not totally certain what really to ask, because I don't know how that job, what all it entails, but I mean, what's some of the cooler places that you get to hang out in the day and call it work?
Shoot, yeah. I always get that question, and it's tough to describe for a lot of people, or just so they can kind of relate to it. So, like, simple terms, I basically get paid to hike.
Yeah.
So, I've been doing it for, gosh, almost 10 years now. Just been in the trail sphere. A lot of it is just kind of going through maintaining trails, because it's not one of those things when you walk in a trail, you think, oh, like, not a lot of people are looking at it and thinking at it, like, how is this sustainable? Is this sustainable kind of deal? And that's kind of where I'm coming from, because the biggest enemy in trails is probably water. Water erodes.
Okay.
If it picks up velocity or doesn't get off the trail, then it picks up material. And that's, I bet anyone's ever walked on a trail and you can feel when it's really gullied out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not much fun, or it's not as enjoyable of an experience.
No, it makes it a little more difficult to walk.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're the one out there making sure that when we're out walking, we're not rolling ankles and falling back down.
True, true. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, shoot, like I said, kind of when we do trail layout, the thought is trying to get you to all the beautiful sights and stuff like that, with the idea of the ecology and the wildlife in mind as well.
Okay.
Because they were there before us and they'll be there after us.
Yep.
So, but still trying to get it where humans can interact with it.
Okay.
A lot of the times we're kind of thinking as humans as like cattle. It's sad. Because you kind of have to, whatever, fence them in to an extent. But we're trying to do natural things, not like literally putting fence or barbed wire right down the side of trails, using like natural features. Like we'll try to use like trails, rocks, stuff like that.
Okay.
So like a natural barrier is our thought process.
Okay, so the idea being is that people are walking down the trail, they kind of just instinctually follow the obvious spot to go.
Yeah, so next time someone's you guys are on the trail, you should think, kind of look and see like, man, this tree's preventing me from going somewhere over here, but I still got this wonderful view, or I have this bench or this trail sign kind of deal.
Oh, okay. See, I wouldn't have even thought like a bench or something would be a way to kind of guide, but that makes sense. I mean, you see the things that are intentionally put out there.
Yeah.
But it, like you said, it works to keep it natural looking. That's pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah. Yep. And kind of, and the big thing is like to think from like a leave no trace aspect. If 4 people go off trail and then they come back,
mm-hmm.
that's 16 steps, kind of like sets of footprints.
Yep.
So that's enough to create a rogue or a non-designated trail. So you're destroying that vegetation.
Okay.
And it takes long for it to come back. But it's one of those things, like, just there's not a whole lot of trail education in school or just outside of our industry kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. 16 steps is not...
Yeah,
it never occurred to me that 4 people would make a permanent.
Yeah, say you, your family walks out, a family of 4 walks out to go look at something. Say they're going to walk out and see a flower. They want to go out to a rock or something like that.
Yep.
Them going out and coming back has already started a trail.
That's crazy.
Yep.
And then people probably see that and think they can walk it as well.
Yep. Yeah. So it's one of those things, like just trying to keep in mind for everyone, like, yeah. The whole idea is you want to leave something for the next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. I never even considered that. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, shoot, it's, to be honest, when I first started in the trail industry, I didn't think that way too. I'm as guilty as the next person that like when, before I knew, I said, oh, that's a cool rock. I want to go over there. Or I want to go look off that edge, or I want to go look at that tree and just like, never thought anything of it, but
that builds up really quickly. And
correct.
With a massive amount of people in the state, I mean,
it,
when you get out onto the trails, usually it thins out. It's not quite as many, but there's still a lot of people that hike and like to go out and see that stuff. Last summer, wife and I did a hike up to, I don't actually know if it was a 14 or it might have been right outside of Fairplay, and so like hiking up there, the trail sort of vanishes, but you can kind of figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just kind of what you're talking about? You're trying to maintain by like strategically placing rocks?
Yeah, so where had you gotten to like a talus field or like a rock field?
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, that's what we call a durable surface.
Mm-hmm.
So anything like a rock, or like if you've been to like Moab or something like that where it's slick rock, or that sandstone, that's where we'll try to put up like what we call cairns or trail markers. Like sometimes they'll paint like something on a rock, or they'll stack rocks.
Yep.
It's just a trail marker to keep you going in the correct direction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always knew the stacked rocks, the rock cairns, were the way to follow for that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I didn't know. I don't think I've seen anything painted, but I've seen some other stuff sometimes around.
Yeah, that's really popular on the East Coast. They'll call them blazes.
Okay.
So they'll actually put them on trees. They'll be like big orange signs, or they'll paint on rocks.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's a big East Coast technique. Yeah.
I mean, and clever, yeah.
Yeah, because you got to think you're going to have a hard time trying to stick a post in a rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the big thing out there. And then shoot, a lot of the western states, like I said, Utah with all that red rock,
yep.
They'll usually paint a square or paint something on the rock, like a very small.
Okay, but just something that's
designated.
Obvious and
correct.
It doesn't like change your view of the natural beauty, but it keeps you.
Yep, yep.
That's
yep.
awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was that much planning that has to go into it. So, like, do you guys plan out? So, I mean, because the trail's got to pretty much stay the same all the time, right? You're not really, like, changing that. But I have noticed that some hikes, it almost seems like there's a new trail or a new route, especially if something gets washed out. Do you guys, like,
so,
have to plan that out?
Yeah, so sometimes they happen naturally, which is not great in the aspect of it's poor trail layout to begin with.
Okay.
So that's kind of a show of it was either an old technique or someone that newer didn't know quite yet. So a lot of times, a lot of old trails were just old, like, roads.
Yeah.
Like, especially if, like, a county, a state, a city adopts a property or buys a property from the private property.
Yep.
They'll just use old roads because it's already something like that, because a lot of the trail users want to get in there and enjoy these areas.
Yeah, right away.
And most roads, old farmers, old ranchers, they didn't care. They didn't think sustainability. They're like, I want to get from A to B.
And shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Yep.
Yep.
And yeah, not very sustainable usually. So the thought is, like, it probably bothers everyone to the end. I know a lot of trail users, but switchbacks. Switchbacks help. Keeps the grade down, but it's so easy to cut them.
Oh, I will always just go ahead and walk this switchback for sure. Because sometimes going up the steeper path, like I watch people try to do it, and I mean, that's also partially just because I'm way too out of shape to go straight up that incline.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. So, like, we try to make the big thing is user experience. Like, either if your horses, bikes, foot, is trying to make it so we'll put meander in it, so like curves, so like you said, if you're going straight line, like I guess if you're like an ultra runner or you're trying to go fast, it's nice.
Yeah,
but yeah, for the general population hiking, you kind of want to take it easy, go side to side.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think once you get out there and you're trying to actually go for a hike, I've never been like, I just want to get to the end of the hike as fast as possible. It's about enjoying everything. That's a lot of thought that has to go into all of it.
Yeah, it's one of the things where I don't think the general public knows. Like, they think we just go out and like, hey, that looks cool. Let's build a trail there. Like, we just go out and walk one day and we're like, this is the line we want to do.
Yeah,
there's, like, especially when you get into it, there's a lot of hands in the pot. Like, we usually have our ecology, our plant people have to go check out something. Our wildlife people have to go check it out. And then our archaeologists have to go check it out just to prove that there's no historic significance in this area. So it's not just trail builders that get to decide where a trail layout goes. It just, there's all little parts to it.
I guess the archaeology thing never really crept into my mind either. Obviously, there's a lot of native people that lived here long before this was developed at all.
Yeah, you could have your Native Americans. You could even have your white settlers. Like, it's all over the place. European settlers, like, all that. So, in the United States, anything over 50 years old is protected under the Antiquities Act.
Seriously?
Yeah. So,
like, if you find a pot that's over 50 years old,
it's considered an artifact now.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, you think a lot of, like, say your grandpa threw a beer out when he was in high school, the more likely that is an artifact now.
Good grief. And 50 years ago, like, as you first said it, I'm like, okay, 1950s, I guess. No, that's the 70s, man. That's
correct.
So beer can from 1970 is a protected artifact, potentially.
Yes. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, and I know people like to take beers out on trails. I mean,
yep.
I know when I get to the top of a hike sometimes, especially you get to the top of a mountain, you got an awesome view, cold beer, little snack.
Yep.
Refuels you very nicely, I think.
Oh, yeah. 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 The big thing for us is just pack it out.
Oh, yeah. Everything that goes up comes back down for
Correct.
Sure.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I am not opposed to that. Yeah. I'll either have throw a couple beers in my pack when I go up, or I'll take a flask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So then let's say, oh, man, how do I want to phrase this one? Because, I mean, it could just be generic and be like, best beer to bring to the top of the mountain, right? But let's pick two spots that you like to hike up to, or like two spots that you very much enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
That you can just like picture being there, right? And then pair with each spot either a beer or a spirit.
Ooh.
Like which one pairs the best with each of those locations?
Oh gosh, I would have to say definitely if I'm gonna go for my beer side, I spent a lot of time in the Santa de Cristo, so like Southern Colorado, the Alamosa area, working on Summit Trails to 14ers.
Okay.
The big one for me was Kit Carson, and there's a lake up there. And I would have to go with the Eddy Line Crank Yanker. I've always just put them in the tall boys, the 16 ounces.
Yep.
Throw it in there. It's a nice IPA, kind of a citrus flavor to it. I'd haul that up there.
I didn't even think about having something like that. Yeah. But I imagine that like citrusiness, especially if it's warm, like that's got to be.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I know it's not
the beer's warm. The outside's warm.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. Correct.
Beer's got to be cold.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, shoot. I'm trying to think. Probably for another good one, I would say still kind of Southern Colorado, maybe consider it central, is the Buffalo Peaks Wilderness area. So just kind of in between Fairplay and Buena Vista area.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, and then that one, shoot, gosh, I'd probably take the flask and do a rye. I'm not really super picky when it comes to rye, but that's just my choice. Like, if I wanted to be really, I'd say Tin Cup, because it's not too far from the town of Tin Cup.
Yeah.
Or this.
Okay, that's fair.
The old town of Tin Cup.
I got one for you then. We'll get you a flask full of Lock & Co.'s Aspen Aged Rye.
Ooh, that
sounds
good.
And then you can take that in your flask up there, because I feel like that might, especially, and I talked about this on the last episode with my guest there, like, the flavor of the aspen, like, it's really cool. It's just very Colorado, so.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, drinking a rye that's aged in the aspen barrel, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and a bunch of aspens would be phenomenal.
Yep. You could do the 291 all rye as well. Would be a very good one, because they do the aspen staves.
Yep.
Yeah. Ooh. All right, I think that might be a thing we're going to have to we're gonna have to plan that out this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Go we'll hike up there with that flask.
Yep.
That sounds pretty good, man. All right, well, so Eddy Line Crank Yanker is definitely a fun beer. I love them out of Muni.
Yep.
The brewery, man, that place has gotten so developed. It's so different because my grandmother lives up there. And so I used to spend a bunch of time, and I just remember it being like, you know, 30 people total in the town, and nobody ever really talked about it. Now all of a sudden, it's blown up.
Yeah, goodness. Everything along the Arkansas there is just all those little towns are blowing up. You have Buena Vista, like you mentioned. Salida's getting big.
Yeah, they are.
Like, shoot, if Leadville wasn't so isolated and cold and high, I think that town would be blowing up too.
It might end up blowing up anyway, honestly.
That's true,
But let's see. So in Buena, I really like Eddy Line, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Was there another brewery up there, or am I just... I might be crazy.
There's quite a few in Salida. I'm trying to think if there is one. I know Elks is there, but that's obviously distillery. Yeah.
Deerhammer.
Oh, Deerhammer. Sorry.
Yep. No, you're good.
Yeah.
Elkins was Estes Park.
Yep, correct.
But yeah, Deerhammer with their single malts, which are really good.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and then Salida, like you said, too, they've got... man, I'm blanking. I know they have like four or five breweries.
Yes, they do. Yeah, because like Poncha Springs has one, which is right at that junction there. So,
okay,
they probably wouldn't like me saying this, but I basically consider it Salida area.
Well, if anybody has a problem, you know, comment below.
Yeah, correct us, please.
Tell Chris that he's very wrong in that.
Yes. Yeah.
But they've got Woodside Mountain Distillery is in Salida.
Yeah.
Now I got to double check that. If I just said the wrong town for them, I'm going to feel really bad.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they're Salida.
Nice.
I really like their stuff. They put out a lot of good stuff as well.
Sweet.
Yeah. Man, we're going to have to get back up to the mountains again.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Actually, it'd be pretty cool because there's so many trails and stuff around that area.
Without a doubt.
We can go find a spot, hike around during the day, come back down, and then hang out at Distillery Brewery.
Yeah, go sit right next to Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Have a nice beer or whiskey or anything, yeah.
Man, and in Salida, too, I know they'll do right on the river some, like, music fest type things.
Correct. They do what they call Fib Bark.
Okay.
So it's a, like, I think it's a weekend-long festival. You try to get rafts down the Arkansas. So they have a water park there, so they put a bunch of like eddy lines in there, so you can do your kayak stuff like that. So it's a 3-day they have concerts.
That's
big
awesome.
Festival. Yeah, it's usually, I believe, in the spring, maybe early summer.
Yep. Okay, might have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a blast.
We'll see how the summer pans out at the moment.
Yeah.
Stuff's kind of booked for a while right now. It's been a busy freaking year, man, but
yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't even know that was... I've just been up there when they've had... Like, they just had a bunch of bluegrass bands playing
Correct.
That time when
yep.
I went up there.
Yep.
And so, just literally sat on the grass. There was... I got beers from, like, 2 or 3 different spots.
Nice.
Listened to bluegrass all day. I mean, that was...
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then, of course, you know, Fairplay's got Snitching Lady.
Yep.
Putting
yep.
out some really good stuff up there.
Mm-hmm.
And... just in Fair Play, this is a great spot to go ahead and plug the unofficial official sponsor for Kickin' Ass Mountain Pizza in Fair Play. Again, obviously owned by my family, as I said, closed down for right now. By the time this airs, now we're still probably going to be maybe a month or 2 months out before they'll open back up. But things are progressing well. No more hair for me. So my mom's on chemo, trying to get through all that stuff, started losing her hair. So all of my brothers and my stepdad, we all all shaved it off. So long hair down to crazy short in the span of nothing. But so really looking forward to them opening back up, being done with all of this, get stuff back rolling. Delicious, delicious pizzas. We're going to do, at least right now, we're kind of tentatively planning a grand reopening type of thing.
Oh, sweet.
Don't know what all that'll entail yet. I am hoping that I can go up there and cook for it.
Nice.
Man the grill a little bit, because that pizza oven, that thing's fun to cook with, man.
Oh, I can imagine.
The inside of it's so high, you just like cast iron right into it, fry up whatever you want, pull it back out. They do wings in the cast iron, seasoned and everything, and then pop them in, pull them back out. Thai basil wings, that's my wife's favorite. Oh my gosh, they're amazing.
Phenomenal.
A little bit of fresh cilantro red on the top of it, and it's amazing, absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to Kicking Ass Mountain Pizza opening back up in Fair Play. Hopefully pretty soon, like I said, a couple months out from now, middle of April as we're recording this. I think it'll probably be out beginning-ish of May, roughly. So if you haven't checked them out yet, we'll link it in the show notes. Follow Kickin' Ass Mountain Pizza. Send them some good wishes and let them know you're looking forward to having the pizza when they get back open. Sweet. Let's talk golf, because golf's fun. I'm terrible at it, but I enjoy the heck out of playing it. So.
Yeah. And that's all you got to do, because, shoot, if you try or get too focused onto it, it's just going to be a bad day, in my opinion.
I agree, because as soon as I start to try to go, like, if I'm just out there messing around, whatever, I swear, I can't, like, I never drive it that far, but it always seems to stay roughly on the fairway.
Yep.
If I try to actually, like, go far and keep it, it's, you know, I'll immediately...
Yep.
Look, slice, whatever.
Yep.
All over the place. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoot. You see how all these older people play golf, and if more younger people played like older people, where played the old people golf, where it's like they don't hit very hard.
Yeah.
Far, but they hit it straight.
Yep.
And just chip and putt.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times one of those old folks have beat the pants off me just because I was like, oh, I'm gonna beat the daylights out of them, but just by bombing it past them. But yeah, they just don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, heck, that's kind of the key to win any sport. Just
true.
Don't make mistakes. Play it as cleanly as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh.
But that's so, Colorado's got a ton of golf courses.
Correct.
All over the place.
Yeah.
What's probably your favorite one to play?
Goodness. Probably my favorite one, probably from young, is probably...
Can I do the Hey June for another one?
I'm good with water, thank you. I would probably say Mariana Buttes in Loveland. It's a really cool course. Was close to where I grew up. A lot of elevation change. It's right next to the, I guess that'd be the Big Thompson there. So really cool. They really keep that course in great shape. It's a city ran course.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, yep. So
that's
really
awesome.
Good. Yeah.
So let's see. I've played like random courses in the Springs.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Random courses in the Springs. Cheers to Robbie Crazy Mountain for always keeping my glass full. Played a course out in Aurora once. Was invited to like a Jim Beam launch event once out there.
Ooh, sweet.
From years ago when I worked in the liquor store still, but
Buffalo Run?
That might have been it.
Yeah, that one's kind of near the airport.
Yeah, it was out that direction.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was it. That was really nice. Yeah. Going out east, like the golf course is cool. It's a little bit hills, but it's not anything crazy. It's just like there's not really cool views to look around.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing about Eastern Colorado, which some of the people listening might know, kind of rolling flat. So the big thing, the way they design those courses, they call them links.
Yeah.
So similar to like the original golf in Scotland, Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have a whole lot of mountains realistically compared to Colorado. They do have mountains, they're just different.
Yeah.
So a lot of their stuff is really rolling, stuff like that, really open. So that's the idea in most eastern courses in Colorado, is trying to get them more linksy. So wide open, doesn't beat you up a whole lot, usually have more bunkers. So that's the way they try to punish you.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So then I guess the courses that are more up in the mountains are probably just really playing off the terrain there, and they don't have to...
Correct. So yeah, that's a lot of times in your mountain courses, you have a lot of blind shots.
Okay.
So you'll have these elevation changes, or you'll have like a dog leg, which is where a hole just goes out and turns right or left kind of deal. And you can't necessarily see the hole or the green. So yeah, a lot of those blind shots, so you're playing like point golf. So you can't go out there and just bomb it. You have to hit it to a point.
Yep. Okay.
Versus just hit it as far as you can and then go find it, hit it again.
Which is where that whole chip method probably works
well
for that too. So
All
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess then like you said, going with the kind of short hits, try to keep it straight.
Mm-hmm.
More fun to play golf that way.
Yeah.
What else would you say for someone who, you know, like me, let's say I want to throw a flask or a couple of beers, whatever, either in the bag or on a cart, hang out. Like, what do you think? You think like the par three courses are a good way to kind of just go enjoy that? Or do you think there's like a cool full course that's...
Ooh, I would say, like, if you're not looking to spend a whole lot of money, like, par threes are a blast and a great way to start.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't be super intimidating.
Yep.
They're not long holes. They're a good time. Get out there, just kind of start learning the game. That was one good thing about COVID. It was one of the things where you could get out, you could still interact with people.
Yep.
Was golf blew up during COVID.
Which makes sense. Suddenly people have a lot more time on their hands. And,
correct.
Yep.
Correct. And, like, you don't need the highest-end clubs. You can go down to your plate against sports. Sometimes pawn shops will have them as well. Like, you don't... Like, if you're just getting in, you don't need to spend a grand or more kind of deal.
Right.
Kind of deal. And going back to kind of the beer point, like, shoot, just do a light lager. Like, some of you might scoff at me. Like, you go with a Modelo or...
Yeah.
A Coors, like a Coors Light kind of deal, something like that. Like, it doesn't need to be anything special kind of deal, but like, and plenty of these craft breweries, microbreweries have something like that, a nice light lager.
Yeah.
I would recommend that when you're playing golf.
Mexican lager here at Crazy Mountain would be perfect for that. That's very nice, very easy drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things, like, you don't want a big, heavy stout unless that's your thing. personally, because yeah, most of the time when you're playing golf, it's warm, it's hot.
Yeah.
You don't want something heavy kind of weighing you down.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Man, I was going to say, too, I had a good follow-up question, I thought, and then it just totally frittered out of my head. So instead, on the Play It Again sports, look, A, are there any Play It Again sports still open? I don't...
I recently found one in Longmont, Colorado that has really good... It'd be really sad if those go away, to be honest.
I feel like I don't see as many of them anymore. Yeah. There's a store that's open in Thornton. It's not called Play It Again, but it's basically that same idea.
Yeah.
Got my daughter's golf clubs there, actually.
Yeah.
It's a full set with the bag. Mm-hmm. This pink set. I mean, they're, like I said, they're probably not the highest end clubs, but they work really nicely for what she needed.
Yep.
And it was like $100.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, you don't need to buy brand new with golf clubs, especially if you're just getting into the game.
Yeah.
Like, secondhand is phenomenal. That's how I started. I got hand-me-downs. I just, to be honest, no, never mind. I had to buy a set of clubs for myself when I was in high school, when I was really into golf. And then I had those for 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So long-term investment, too, then, if like, you're interested in playing.
Yeah, say you want to get really good, then sometimes you'll see marginal gains by buying the newest, greatest thing.
Okay.
But if you're that weekend warrior, there's no reason to go out and buy the latest, greatest thing.
Which then means that you can spend more money on those craft beers to pack in the bags.
Correct, yeah.
It works out perfectly.
Yeah, there's a whole market of in that aspect. Like, you'll see things where they'll have... like a sleeve that you can put a six pack in, kind of deal of cans. That's
actually pretty clever. And insulated?
Correct. Beautiful. Yep. And then there's even golf bags that'll have a cooler in it. I remember growing up, my dad had a bag that had a cooler built into it.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
I mean, at what point, though, do we start to get to Rodney Dangerfield from Caddyshack, where we're...
They do have that. They have one that'll actually go in a golf club bag. Like, it's just a long cylinder. Seriously. I think it'll hold, I can't remember what it is. It might be like... 3 or 4 bitters in it, and it has a little tap on it.
Okay, I almost feel like I gotta buy that.
Yeah,
I really think I need that.
Yep.
Whether I use it or not, just to have it sit, like the beer tap sitting in the golf clubs.
Correct, yeah.
Oh.
And I can imagine you have to charge it something with CO2 just to get it come out. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that sounds pretty fun, though.
It is really cool.
I might have to get one of those.
Yeah, because I bet most people, when they think of golf, they think beer goes hand in hand, kind of deal. It's just that association.
I don't know anybody who plays golf who doesn't say that they have beer while they're playing golf.
I know.
Yep. Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, like if you're really serious about it, like it's one of those things that kind of ease that pain. Say you have that bad shot. Oh, I'll take a sip.
Yeah. This is,
yeah.
Yep. And if you're not that serious about it, then you take the sip after a bad shot too. Because
Yeah. It's a good and bad thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
Man, so just on the golf too, because I know the Masters just wrapped up.
Correct.
Scotty Scheffler won?
Correct. That guy can't get beat. Yeah, he is.
Four strokes ahead of the next?
Yep, correct. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was just one of those things where if the rest of the field's got to figure out somehow to catch up with him, because he made mistakes on Sunday.
Yeah.
But he just, like, it sounds silly, but he just made less mistakes. He just started pulling away. He is a competitor, without a doubt. Like, he's not as aggressive as your Tigers, which a lot of the older listeners obviously know Tiger. He's still relevant. He was there. He actually set a record this weekend.
Did he?
He has the most cuts made at the Master at 24. So he's made it. Weekend.
Yep. Gotcha.
So yeah, the first 2 days. You're kind of playing so they'll take the top 60, ties included, into the weekend. So that in the PGA, that's what they'll do. So he's made 24 consecutive cuts in the Masters.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
He just beat out Fred Couples. Yeah, Fred Couples had 23. So he is now the person with the longest streak.
That's a cool record to own.
Yep.
But the one thing I heard, and I don't know if this is true or if you've heard this as well, but I think it was Bryson DeChambeau.
Correct.
Was playing with a 3D printing club?
Correct, yes. So Bryson DeChambeau's nickname is the Mad Scientist.
Okay.
So for the people that don't know, and it might not seem weird to people that don't play golf, well, every club, every iron in his bag, including his putter, is the same length. with the exception of his driver and woods.
Okay, like, I'm not a big golf person, but even I know that when I grab, like, a 5-iron versus a 9-iron, they're not the same length, especially in the putter, too?
Correct. So it's the same length as a 7-iron, which is, for the average golfer, is between 37 inches to 35 inches.
Okay.
So it's just a weird, he's found, he's a engineer by trade. That's what he went to school with and graduated with. So he's done the math in his head to find that is the most efficient way for him
for
to
him
swing.
To, yeah.
And then, like you brought up, he did, him and Ping, golf manufacturer, partnered to make clubs that the face is actually convex.
Oh.
So it has like a little bulge in it.
Yeah.
Like, it would be really hard for you to notice. But his explanation is it helps with the gear effect. So this is way beyond me. Like,
yeah.
So this is like, say you hit on the end of your club, which they call the toe.
Yep.
It's supposed to help straighten that shot somehow with that bulge. That has to do with gear effect. So your engineers out there probably know exactly what I'm talking about, but this is so beyond me. Yeah.
All right. So any engineers who listen to this episode, I would like you to reach out and try to explain the math to me. I think I could understand some of it at the very least. Not that smart, but I'm also relatively smart, so I think I could get it if you tried. But
physicist as well.
Yeah, that's actually really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he put that much into it. Like, I've heard some crazy stuff.
Yeah, he is always looking at all the analytics. Like, he has a really good YouTube channel.
Okay.
And he talks through his thought process. Like, he takes, when he's with a shot, he's talking about humidity. He's talking grade. He's talking, elevation. He'll even sometimes, with longer shots, he'll talk about, like, Coriolis effect.
Seriously?
Right, yeah, because he's one of the longest hitters on the tour. He actually plays in the LIV Tour, which we won't go into that. That's a whole can of worms.
That's a, yep. That one gets the sports radio around the state worked up.
Yeah, so, but, he's, like, he, last year, or maybe it was the year before, he actually went into long drive competitions.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he just fell short of becoming the world champion with that, but, like you said, if you go back to photos of him right out of college, he was average build person, probably right around that, like, 6 foot, maybe 6'1", probably 180 pounds, maybe. Now he's that height, and he's put on so much bulk.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, I'm just going to manhandle these courses. Like, just, I'm going to hit it so far that I'm just driving all these greens. Yeah.
I got the back net of a Topgolf one time. So, I got that going for me.
Yes.
Sure, he hits it every time.
Or over. Yeah, he's on another level.
Actually, that'd be interesting to see if he could get it over it and out, like, into the parking lot beyond the net.
Yes. Yeah.
That'd be fun to see.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, he is a beast of a person, that's for sure.
Oh, man. That's pretty crazy.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I don't think there's a lot of Colorado representation in the Masters.
There was, believe it or not. So, Wyndham Clark, he was the U.S. Open champion.
I know that name.
Yeah, he graduated from Ballard Christian.
Wait, he won something big 2 years ago.
Yeah, he won the U.S. Open.
The U.S. Open 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's a Christian McCaffrey's buddy.
Okay.
Yep.
So I do remember that now that you said that, because that was the year DU won their championship.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles made the playoffs for the AHL but didn't win the championship. Obviously, the Avs won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
You've got two, I think, high school hockey teams won national championships in Colorado. And then, that was right, it was Wyndham Clark.
He won at the LA Country Club.
Yep.
He won the U.S. Open.
Yeah. And so he played in the Masters.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's been very relevant of late. Like, they're leading up to the Masters, I think he had won two or three tournaments. Like, he was clicking at the right time. It just apparently wasn't able to put it together at the Masters.
Well, and, I mean, it sounds like Scheffler kind of blew everyone away.
Yeah,
so.
There's a reason why he's number one in the world.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But that's cool. I mean, I love to see Colorado represented. Like, you said he's Christian McCaffrey's friend. Obviously, that's another Colorado kid.
Yep.
Consistently competing for Super Bowls.
Correct.
We hate the Chiefs, so
it
would be awesome if we could have them stop winning. But,
I mean,
I'm hoping Christian, because, like, obviously Broncos fan, there's no way they're doing anything this year. So
yeah.
I really hope Christian can take the Chiefs down.
Yeah, that'd be really sweet.
I'd love to see him get a Super Bowl before he retires.
Yeah.
It'll just be awesome.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
But then I know like our college teams are all doing, you know, DU obviously again just became the most winning franchise in NCAA hockey history.
Yep.
But then in basketball, both the men and the women's teams both got into the tournaments for each.
Both. Yeah.
And the women's team went far. What to the? Did they make it to eight or just the Sweet 16?
They made it to the Elite Eight in the women's, and then
and that's where they lost to Caitlin Clark.
Correct.
In Iowa.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah,
okay.
And yeah, that's tough. That Caitlin Clark is doing wonderful things for women's basketball. Shoot, just basketball in general.
Yeah,
yeah. But yes, that was a tough one for the Lady Buffs. That was a tough to go up. It was awesome the way they started. They beat the defending champions right off the bat with LSU. Yeah, and then the men's. Gosh, to be honest, I did not think the Buffs were going to make it as far as they did into the men's side.
Yeah.
Shoot, CSU made it in.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah.
And did the CSU women's team also make
it? I think they just missed out.
Okay, I was going to say, I know they were.
Yeah, they were right. They were on the edge, yes.
But I couldn't remember all, because it's 64 teams.
Correct.
Okay, good. Yeah. I was like, I'm almost positive that's right, that the brackets are 64.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
or I guess technically it's 68 because you have four play-in games.
Oh, that's right, because CU was one of the play-in games for
Correct.
The Reds, right?
Correct.
Yep, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Man, but yeah, I saw today, obviously not exactly a surprise, so I get an alert on my phone, breaking news from ESPN, Caitlin Clark selected number one overall.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know that that qualifies as breaking news, because even if you don't watch basketball, you've probably heard her name if you pay attention to any sport.
Correct, yeah, because, shoot, she set the scoring record, gender aside, for all NCAA basketball. That's crazy,
that's
just to think.
Absurd.
Yeah.
Absolutely absurd.
Yeah, in the era of one and dones.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. Like,
well, and CU played them well, too. I mean,
correct.
Huge shout out to the CU women's basketball team, because that game could have been very out of hand very easily.
Correct, yeah. If she gets on a heater, like meaning Caitlin Clark, she can't be touched. Yeah, it's just tough. Her team has to be there to support her.
Yeah.
She's one of those people, like, she can carry a team. She's kind of, like, probably the only equivalent I can think of in professional sports would be Steph Curry.
Okay.
But Steph Curry has a supporting cast. She didn't always have a supporting cast.
Well, and yeah, like, Steph can definitely put... I mean, and he did for a long time, put Golden State kind of on his shoulders, but you're right, if the rest of the team's not playing well, he's not going to single-handedly
drag
you.
Yeah, it makes it easy for another team to just be like, oh, if this person's your only scorer, let's just put five people on them and make the other team make points,
and
or other people make
I'm
points.
I'm sure that's what college teams tried to do and still couldn't stop.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, when you can shoot from the logo or the center – or half court, it's kind of hard to guard that person.
Yeah. So your degree's from UCCS, correct?
Correct.
So part of the CU system.
Correct.
My pretend degree, because I didn't graduate, is also from UCCS. So
yeah.
And obviously some cool ties there.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of sports coming out of UCCS, necessarily. There was track.
Yeah. So our track and cross country... have been good. They have a couple national champions individually.
Cool. I did not know that.
Yep. So on the track side, both men's and women, we've had some phenomenal men and women to come out of there. We had some individuals that alum that competed in the U.S. Olympic marathon trials recently.
Whoa.
Yep. Or I guess that would have been back in February. Shoot.
Still, that's crazy.
A notable alum is Derek White.
Okay.
He plays basketball. He was a so his first 2 years were at UCCS before transferring to CU Boulder.
Okay.
And now I'm actually not sure where he's landed now, but I believe he plays for the Celtics.
Okay.
So yeah, he has. I believe he
has the team that Denver's going to beat in the finals this year.
Correct. Yep. Yep. But yeah, another. Oh, I guess no. He was just CU peer, but Chauncey Billups. But yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's a name I recognize
as
well.
Yeah. But yeah. Most of our athletics are in the individual sports. Like, we've had some good soccer teams,
okay,
both men's and women's. But We were considered a commuter school, so we have a lot of military presence. So either people active duty or retired military, they finish up using that GI Bill, getting that education. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So
yeah, Colorado Springs being a very military base focused town. Yep.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I didn't realize, though, that there was a NBA player who attended.
Yeah, that active one. I believe, like I said, I believe he has a world championship, too.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, CU just making all the headlines with football being
correct.
The big focus.
Yeah, prime time.
Gotta, I mean, Angie and I bought the glasses.
Oh, you got to.
Yeah.
You got to.
Gold, obnoxious. Yeah. Wear them all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, the lenses are really nice. The blenders glasses are really nice.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Oh.
Primetime doesn't mess around.
No. So, I mean, it's cool to see Colorado just everywhere. Because, I mean, obviously CU's getting all the attention and everything. But CSU's football program is also really damn good.
Yes, they have basically came... I don't know if it's the right analogy, but they've definitely come from ashes.
Yeah.
There was, like, they had the Sonny Lubick era, which their relative might be a little too nice, but they were always, you knew of them kind of deal. They had some whatever players that made it to the NFL. No one that ever was big, but they had a couple that would sneak in. Yeah, but yes, CU's always been kind of been dominant, but shoot, this year they gave CU a run for their money.
That game was one of the best football games.
Yeah, double overtime.
So, yep. We were at a charity event, and we're watching that, and I thought for sure, I was like, and this was still early in the season, and CU'd come out like, you know, gangbusters.
Correct.
And so I was like, oh, they're gonna run away with it. There's not even a chance. And then we're at this event, and they throw the game up, and I'm watching. I'm like, this is still close.
Yeah.
And the event's starting to wrap up, and I'm like, all right, we're getting to the end of the fourth quarter, and this is still going, and then go all the way through all the extra overtimes. What, that game ended at 1 in the morning, I think?
Oh, or midnight? I think it was midnight, because I remember getting home at 1 in the morning, because we watched at a friend's house in Boulder.
Oh, my gosh.
And we could hear the stadium. Like, we were probably a mile or two away. We could hear the cheering from this person's home.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, that game just sounded, though. Like, it looked amazing from the bits that we saw.
Oh, yeah.
And it just... absolutely awesome.
Yeah, just imagine the revenue CU Boulder has now got.
Oh, like, I'm sure.
Yeah, shoot. They finished 500 last year?
Were they? I thought they were even one below. Maybe.
I believe you're right, because they weren't bowl eligible this past year. Yeah, and whatever Prime's promising a bowl and a national championship.
Oh, man. Yeah. If it happens, it'd be...
Yeah.
I'd love it just...
Yep.
I mean...
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't I, but...
Yeah, it's true. Like, I think he just needs time. He's developing his program. Like, it would have been almost unheard of if, say, new coach coming into a big... Or, again, quotations, big program. Yeah. But now, we'll see.
He's going to make that a much larger program, though.
Oh, yeah. And he has that draw. He's bringing in phenomenal athletes.
Yep.
Because, obviously, he was a phenomenal athlete himself. Two-sport athlete, got to play. Oh, yeah.
MLB and NFL, like, geez, man.
Yep.
I can't, you know, like, I can't even run, so, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
I did a 5K the other day in 34 minutes, and I was like, man, I'm crushing it now.
That's the average, man. Like, that's actually really good.
So, I'm getting slowly better. My work has done this, like, take so many steps, whatever, and you get points for it. And we teamed up. Like, you could have teams of up to 5. I think my team's 4 people, so it's like...
Oh, nice.
You know, I can't let my team down. So then it's like, okay, well, I need a lot of steps. I guess I'm going to go run for a while and get there that way. But, the program's coming out. I mean, Colorado just in general, everything about it's awesome.
Yeah.
The fact that we've got, and the city is busy, like you said, traffic was bad, but it's still a really nice city overall. I mean, everything down here is great. You got wonderful sports programs across the board.
Yep.
And then you have the Rockies with a really nice bar that you get to go hang out at.
Yes.
Sometimes they play baseball on that field, I've heard.
Yeah. It's like a event to go drink, and sometimes baseball breaks out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I went to a boxing match and a hockey game broke out.
That kind of idea.
I went to a bar and a Rockies game started somewhere.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the all joking aside, Rockies are still, it is a blast to go see the games.
Yeah.
I really hope they can start doing well, because the fans who are real baseball fans, they deserve better than what they've
done. Yes. Yeah.
It's not fair to those guys, but
I mean,
then you got Broncos with a great pedigree. You got, obviously, Avs, Nuggets now have a championship.
I know. Shoot, and there's, it's not out of the question, knock on wood, a repeat.
Yeah, man, it would be so awesome. I was really hoping that the Avs would, you know, push for a two and three years type of situation.
Yeah.
It's looking a little rougher for them at the moment, but hey, you got the best player in the world in Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, that's true.
Also maybe the best player in the world in Cale McCarr.
And or two golfers.
Yeah,
they both play, they're avid golfers. Yep.
See, there we go.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun... Actually, I don't think that'd be a fun game of golf for me to play.
Oh, gosh. It would be a blast just to be around them, but they would beat the daylights out of us.
There's no chance. I mean, you would have the closer chance, and not to knock your game, but I don't think you could keep up with them.
They're professional athletes. Yeah. Like, you... Just the, like, golf... I know a lot of people probably don't think golf is athletic, but anymore, those guys are athletes.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, hockey's got to be relatable. It's a similar swing.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, and that's why I hear a lot of hockey players play golf. So.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's, that would be a fun game to play, as much as I would feel so, so terrible about my ability to play golf.
I would be starstruck, let alone being my pants beat off. Yeah.
I'll challenge them to a game of mini golf if they take me up on that. Yes. So if Nathan MacKinnon and Cale McCarr listen to this podcast episode, I hereby challenge you to a round of mini golf. They'll kick my butt in that, too. Let's be honest. Their putting's going to be way stronger than mine.
Yeah.
But awesome, man. Well, I mean, that's probably going to kind of wrap it up. I think this has been great. I'm really thrilled you were able to come down and join me here.
I appreciate you having me.
Awesome conversation. Cool things to talk about. Learned a lot about trails. Like, I mean, I've known you for freaking ever. I know you've done this job for a while, and I feel terrible that I haven't actually, like, you know, put that much interest into it, I guess, but there's a lot into that. So
The big thing is just go out and enjoy them.
Yeah,
and please stay on trail.
Yeah, stay on trail for sure. Clean up all your crap when you go out. Make sure you pack out everything that you bring in with you. And again, stay on the trail. No, that's awesome, man. So thank you very much for coming out. Before we totally wrap it up, the last podcast episode, I usually do a Mile High shout-outs. Last episode was Dragon Roast Coffee. A buddy of mine that I worked with in the Springs for a while has just launched a coffee roasting company, actually up basically right in my neck of the woods, North Denver area, called Dragon Roast Coffee. Again, we'll have the links for that in the show notes and everything. But it's really, really good coffee. Like, I mean, got the whole bean, grounded them up, made myself the cup of coffee. Wife comes downstairs, she's like, that smells really good. Like, the coffee smells great. Takes a sip. She absolutely loves it. It's very kind of nerdy oriented, but I love that. It's so Dragon's Roast, and then he's kind of playing into the whole Dungeons & Dragons theme and everything. Got a Paladin Medium Roast, Necromancer Dark Roast, which I like that one, you know, bring you back from the dead in the morning. Necromancer Dark Roast.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, they're all very smooth. They're all very drinkable. So check them out. I need to double check this code because he does have a discount code you can use. Quest10. So that's QUEST10. And you get 10% off of your first order if you put that code in. And I highly recommend doing it. Give them a shot. And then you can sign up for a subscription service, save 15%. Coffee's absolutely amazing. So big shout out to my buddy at Dragon Roast Coffee. Wanted to just make sure everybody knows about that. So if you've been enjoying the show, listening, watching us, give us a follow on the platform you listen to, subscribe to us on YouTube. You know, basically any and every interaction always helps support the show. Any revenue that I make from the show, including from the shop, if you go buy anything at milehighbourbon.com/shop, proceeds of all the sales, part of them will go to local charities for the next while. For obvious reasons, I will be supporting local Colorado cancer charities, whether that be research or the hospitals that help provide things for families at no cost, all of those things. So, you know, give us a review, share us, rate us, write down a, you know,
give us a good rating if you like it. If you don't like it, still go ahead and interact and tell me where I can do better, because I'm looking to improve and it's still interaction for me. So also find us on social media. Just search Mile High Bourbon on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, Twix, whatever it is, Threads, and more. If it's social media, I probably have it, although I really only post on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. But say hello, interact, let us know your favorite Colorado craft beverages. I really just always want to talk about it. I love discovering new places. There's so many to try that I just haven't had a chance to try yet. Thank you very much to Roma Ransom, as always, for providing the intro outro music. Awesome guitar riff at the beginning and end of every show. They do shows all over the state, a lot of them at distilleries, a lot of them, two people playing the music the whole time. They sit there, they jam out. It's fantastic. So follow them on Instagram. They'll show where their next shows are going, and go check them out for sure, because it is a blast. So Chris, thank you again for joining me. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, pleasure. I appreciate you having me, actually. Yeah. We'll have to do it again if you'll have me.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you're welcome on the show whenever you'd like, man. So we'll see you guys all next time on the next episode of the Colorado Craft Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.